This comes from the cherished and thorough Bhakti, Radharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki, Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Ki, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Gopinanda. All glorious to their humble devotees. All glorious to their humble devotees. All glorious to their humble devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. So this evening, Mrs. Mudli has chosen a very nice verse, and just coincidentally, or perhaps it is Krishna's arrangement, that it is the same verse we read last night at the program here in Phoenix. That was, where was that? What's it called? Rustic Manor. Yes. So, Mrs. Mudli tonight has chosen, very beautiful verse, from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute. Text 10. Such a nice verse. How many of you out there in the audience know this verse, know what this verse is? Robin goes, oh, Mr. Jayaranda, you can tell us? Oh, wonderful. Well done. Well done. That's excellent. That's a real devotee. He actually knows what Krishna is saying. And Robin, do you want to tell us the translation? Somebody else, he wants to give someone else the pleasure. Who else will tell us? What is the translation? One of the ladies? Some lady scholar out there? Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is a wonderful verse. Tesham sarati yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Perhaps we can repeat that responsively. You can repeat after me, please. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Well done. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things, and that he would now instruct him in the way of Bodhi Yoga. Now, Bodhi Yoga is explained. Bodhi Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Bodhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Bodhi Yoga. In other words, Bodhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed. And the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or Bodhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of Krishna, of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Tesho Sarati Yuktanam Bhajatam Pati Purvakam Tadami Bodhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Priyanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Milutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Devati Swapadantikam Vanchakapatu Rubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama very good. Yes, as we mentioned, this is a very beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita. This is a very important and famous verse in Bhagavad Gita. Very meaningful and very practical to see the sound vibration has stimulated our car there. This is a very significant verse and very practical verse, actually. This is a very practical verse because it is telling us how, really the essence of how we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Yes, there are so many things to do in Krishna consciousness. From the morning till the night, there is full program, many different types of activities for our benefit, so we can become purified and become attached to Krishna. Like this, we can make advancement. But the essence is to try to perform these activities in a certain mood. It is not that we are simply working when we're doing some service. Like a few days ago, we finished the Christmas marathon, book distribution marathon. And so many devotees from all around KwaZulu-Natal, they distributed many books. Many of the Namahattas, Tongat, Peter Maritzburg, and Newlands, and around here and there, and Phoenix, I'm sure. The devotees distributed many books, and in this way, really did something positive to help the people in general. That was very nice. But it's not that the devotees were working as we work when we're at our job. There are many people who are selling books in CNA and other bookshops. There are many people, they're selling different types of books. And that is simply work. But when the devotees are distributing Krishna's books, the Vedic scriptures, Srila Prabhupada's books, then this is not just work, this is devotional service. And we should understand that. And we shouldn't think that, oh, this is work. Because generally, if something is simply work, then you don't really like doing it. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and I assume many of you will have to report into the factory or the office, where your place of employment is, and you will have to work. But I am sure that none of you are really looking forward to that. You may be looking forward to the money, but not the work. So if it wasn't for the money, you wouldn't do that work. Why would you do that work? But a devotee, a real devotee, means someone who really understands what is the reality of Krishna consciousness, what is the reality, what is the benefit, the value of being able to render service to Krishna. So such a devotee, advanced or advancing devotee, takes those opportunities. If the other devotees ask, please distribute some of Srila Prabhupada's books, then that devotee, the devotee who is seriously trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, will not think that, oh, they want me to work and they're not even going to pay me. The real devotee, or the devotee who is taking Krishna consciousness seriously, will think, yes, nice opportunity. Thank you, Krishna. You're being very kind. Yes, we are chanting Hare Krishna after all. Many of you I know are chanting every day. Even many of you I know are chanting 16 rounds a day or more even perhaps. So when you are chanting, do you know what you are saying to Krishna? In effect, what is the message that you are giving Krishna? When you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you are calling out, oh my Lord, Krishna, oh energy of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, please be merciful and engage me in your service. So if shortly after some other devotee, Prabhanu, Prabhu, or any devotee walks up to you and says, oh, by the way, Prabhu, or Mataji, are we going out distributing books? Will you come? Would you like to come? Then you must know that Krishna is simply responding to your prayer. Don't think that, oh no, they want me to go out and knock on people's doors and get doors slammed in my face occasionally, get the odd, you know, person from some other religion try to give me the good word or something like that. And the bottom line is, I'll have to work. No, you must know that Krishna is simply reciprocating. You've been calling out, oh my Lord, please engage me in your service. He is simply responding to your request. So don't then turn around and try to sidestep with some tricky maneuver like, oh, urgent appointment, just have to go, but I would have loved to, or something like that. Just take it that's Krishna calling. Come on, let's go. So, of course, if you are not so inclined to doing service, be it book distribution or cooking for a program or helping do something, whatever it may be, some service, if you are not so inclined, then you better be careful that you don't chant Hare Krishna too nicely. You better make sure you chant with offenses. Otherwise, you're just going to get so many devotees. If you chant nicely, you'll get so many devotees walking up to you saying, oh, would you like to do some service? You can be busy all day. You can be busy for the rest of your life even, actually, and even eternally. Yes, so that is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. It is not just work. But we're getting an opportunity to do something for Krishna. And when we do it, then we shouldn't do it in, certainly we shouldn't do it in some grudging work that they forced me to do this service. I couldn't get out of it. Not like that. And we shouldn't do it also in the mood that this is work, they want me to work. But we should do this in the mood that this is Krishna's mercy, Krishna's being very kind, giving me an opportunity. And in that mood, that Krishna's giving me the opportunity to come closer to him, then we should try to do that in a reciprocal mood, an appreciative mood, feeling ourselves very fortunate and being very glad to have been given the opportunity. That is a devotional moment. We may not be on the level of pure love of God. That is very high. Krishna prema. That is the highest goal of life. We may not be on that level, but at least we can be on the level. At least we can certainly be on the level of being appreciative that we have been given some good fortune. And then in that appreciative mood, we can then try to do that service in a careful way, in an attentive way, in a concerned way, that we want to do this as nicely as possible to please Krishna. Not in some sloppy way, don't care way. Not like that. But something very nice. So Krishna will see And Krishna will think, oh, how wonderful. And Krishna will thank you. Thank you for doing that nice service. Yes. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is devotional service. We should try to remember that. And try to apply that in our lives. And if we do, then, as we said, Krishna will reciprocate. He will appreciate. He will respond. Earlier, in the 9th chapter, just a few verses before, Krishna, Lord Krishna, tells Arjuna that... Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana parupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says that for those devotees, those people who are always meditating on me and trying to serve me in that mood of love and affection, or at least appreciation like this. So Krishna says, I carry to them what they lack, and I preserve what they have. In other words, we may try to serve Krishna, and we may try our best, but we are very fallible. We may not be very advanced. So whatever we try to do, there may be some fault. Even though we may try our best, still, our service to Krishna, it may not be absolutely perfect. There may be some shortcoming of some sort, despite our best efforts. But if you try in that mood, trying to serve Krishna in an appreciative mood, enthusiastic and happy to get that opportunity, if you try to serve Krishna like that, then Krishna says in that verse, then I'll carry what you lack. I'll carry to you what you lack. Krishna will bridge the gap. He will make up the difference for any shortcoming in our efforts. And in that way, our service will actually become very wonderful, even though we may not be so wonderful. That to those who are constantly trying to serve me in that affectionate mood, in that appreciative mood, very favorable attitude towards Krishna, very favorable attitude about serving, then such a devotee who is constantly trying his or her best to serve like that, Krishna says that I, seated within the heart, I will help them. I will give them the understanding so they can come to me. Krishna is saying, I will make sure that such a sincere devotee, even though imperfect, but still sincerely trying, such a sincere devotee, Krishna will ensure that that devotee comes back to him and is able to achieve the goal of life by Krishna's mercy. He will carry what the devotee lacks. He will give the understanding. He'll give the inspiration through the heart. He will make the different arrangements so that that sincere devotee, despite having shortcomings, will be able to advance nicely and ultimately be fully successful. Go back to Godhead, back home, to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is the main thing, really. Main thing is how much we appreciate our good fortune. That's the main thing. Not whether you're a big scholar. Not whether you are very, very renounced, very austere. Not whether you have a lot of money and you're able to donate a lot of money and you don't even notice it in your bank balance. Not like that. But the essence of it is, of course, it's also important to learn and try to understand. It's also important to try to not be materially attached. It's also important to offer your money, your time, your energy, everything in fact. That's important. But these things have to be done in a devotional mood. Or at least in that mood of appreciation, being willing to serve Krishna, feeling fortunate that I got the opportunity, and in that mood of inspiration, then actually trying to do that service very nicely, in the best way possible, for the pleasure of Krishna. If you can do it like that, then this verse applies. This verse will apply. That Krishna will help you in so much. He'll help you so much, sometimes you won't believe it, actually. Srila Prabhupada's father said that Krishna has 8 hands. Because there are different forms of Krishna. Even there's one form of 1,000 hands. But there's one famous form. He has 8 hands. And Srila Prabhupada's father said that if Krishna, with his 8 hands, wants to take something from you, then how can you, with your 2 hands, stop him? And if Krishna, with all his 8 hands, wants to give you, then how can you, with your 2 hands, hold it all? It'll just be overwhelming. So that is Krishna. That is Krishna. If we just make that nice effort, that sincere effort, as Krishna is saying here, trying to render some service, and trying to render that service in a favorable mood, positive mood, being interested, not just in yourself, but interested to please Krishna. You know, there's one very nice story. Some of you may have heard. There's one very nice story about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Actually, there's one verse which is basically explaining the same thing. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of the first canto, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahaitukam. In that verse, Sutta Goswami is speaking, and he says that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. If you render Bhakti Yoga, if you perform Bhakti Yoga, if you render devotional service to Vasudeva, Krishna, then Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yada Hoitukam. Then, causelessly, knowledge and detachment will arise in your heart. Realization, spiritual advancement will arise from within, simply through your rendering devotional service. So, in regard to that verse, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, there's an experience he had, in fact. He was staying there in Mayapur, Sri Mayapur Dham, and one day, one big Hindu intellectual came, one of the very biggest. He was the vice rector of the Banaras Hindu University. This means he's second in charge there. Big, big Hindu intellectual. He came to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who of course was big famous guru. So he came, this intellectual came, to ask Srila Bhaktisiddhanta some questions. Complicated questions. Because he had a very complicated mind, this man, being a big intellectual. Just like I used to study philosophy, years ago. And there was one person, I forget who he was, fortunately, but he said, big philosopher, he said that when you understand the principles of logic and the implications of logic, then even a statement like, I exist, assumes extremely complex proportions. Yes. It becomes very intriguing. Simplest thing, that I exist. So anyway, big Hindu intellectual, big questions. He came to speak to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who was a big guru, and he approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He had an appointment, in fact. He wrote, he had an appointment for some time. So he came, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and said that, yes, here I am with my questions. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, please, just wait a little while, I'm busy, I'll be right with you. But if you like, there were some young brahmacharis or young bhaktas, maybe in their late teens or early 20s, over in one corner of the temple room, cleaning the arati paraphernalia, the ghee lamp and so on. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said to this gentleman, why don't you go in the meantime and ask those boys over there? So they're young fellows. And this man, you know, he's a very mature man and very experienced. So his immediate response, at least internally, was to think, what? You want me, the big intellectual, to ask these boys my big questions? Anyway, he thought, all right. So he went. He spoke to the boys. And he said that your guru said I should come and ask you my questions. The boys said, no problem, that's fine. However, we are busy right now cleaning the brass. If you help us to clean the brass, we'll be finished earlier. We'll then ask you our questions quicker. So then that man, he thought, internally he just thought, oh, now they want me to work. But then he thought, oh, all right. So he sat down, he was cleaning the brassware, doing some service. Suddenly, the answer to his first question appeared within his mind out of nowhere. He couldn't believe it. He just got the idea. Then another answer for the next question came. And by the time he finished cleaning all the brassware, all the answers to all his questions had appeared in his mind. Spontaneously, he couldn't believe it. What happened? So then they finished and the boy said, all right, yes, what are your questions? He said, well, actually, the answers have come, it's all right. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came and said, now I am free. You please tell me one of your questions, we can discuss. And the gentleman told him also, yes, I was just sitting here, just cleaning this arati paraphernalia. And all the answers to all the questions, they just came into my mind. I have no more questions. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quoted this verse that we mentioned, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janyat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahoitukam. That if you simply render devotional service to Krishna, then causelessly knowledge and detachment will arise within your heart without making any extraneous effort to become a big scholar and study very carefully, or to become very renounced by trying to give up so many things. It'll just automatically come, causelessly. Ahaitaki means causelessly. Now, of course, we know that causeless doesn't mean totally causeless in an absolute sense. It means there is no material cause. But there is a cause. That is a spiritual cause. That cause is Krishna. These things are arising from the heart. And Krishna is in the heart. So this knowledge and detachment, this advancement in Krishna consciousness, this purification, which is coming from within, that is coming from Krishna by His mercy. When He sees, as He says here Himself, when He sees that these people are sincerely trying to serve Me with some attachment, some appreciation like that, then Krishna will reciprocate so nicely. You'll become so happy. So happy. We cannot imagine how happy. We may have some idea of what happiness is, but that is something very shallow compared to the bliss of pure devotional service. And what to speak of the bliss of pure devotional service, even the bliss of half pure devotional service, which is not perfect devotional service, but you're just trying in your own humble way to do your best, and knowing you're not so qualified. But even that, the bliss which comes from Krishna, from within the heart, as part of His reciprocation, that is something we cannot imagine, actually. So let us try and take this to heart, what Krishna is saying here. Let us try to apply this. This is something very practical. We've all come to the point of at least coming to the program tonight. At least, of course, all of you are, I mean, some of you or however many, have also come to a point beyond just that, but at least you've come to the point in your Krishna consciousness of coming to this program. So let us think where to go from here. How to make progress from here. Let us not become complacent and think that, yes, I'm all right, you're all right, and we don't need to worry about making any further effort because we're all right. No, let us not be apathetic, but let us think progressively how to move forward. What is the next step for me? How I can take my next step in my natural advancement, my natural progress in Krishna consciousness. For some of you, it may mean increasing your chanting, trying to come up towards 16 rounds. For some of you, it may mean increasing or improving the quality of your chanting if you're already doing 16 rounds. For some of you, it may mean taking up some more service, or trying to take up your existing service more seriously. But for everyone, without exception, there is a next step, actually. There's always a next step, heading back towards Krishna. So if we are sincere to understand what it is, and then that we actually want to take it, to do it, then by the mercy of Krishna, with the help of the devotees, then we can identify what that is, and then work at that. Work at moving forward in a practical way to advance nicely in Krishna consciousness, and become more and more blissful at every step forward. Hare Krishna. We have a few questions here. Let's see. We will try to answer these. We'll just answer a few because we don't want to keep you too long. How many of you have to work tomorrow? Two. Is that all? Three, four, five. Are you just ecstatic about that? Yes, sorry, I don't want to be sorry. Okay, anyway, we know it's time.
So you increase your Krishna consciousness and you'll achieve more and more the ability to float above your work. Not that you'll just become sort of, you know, negligent, something like that, but you'll be able to do it without getting dragged down into the whole scene there. Okay, here we go. We will answer a few questions just for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes, then we'll have Guru Puja, and then that will be that. So the first question is, if it is a person's karma to be murdered in this lifetime, does the murderer take reaction seeing that the law of nature is that for every action there will be a reaction outside of Krishna consciousness? Well, that's a good question. Yes, it is a fact that if someone is murdered, or whatever happens to you, if something good happens, or whatever happens in your life, it is a fact, at least particularly with the ordinary people in everyday life, it is a fact that whatever happens to them, that is happening because of their karma. Because previously, in previous lifetimes, they did certain things, and now in this lifetime, they are getting the reactions. So, if a person is murdered then, that means that generally it would mean quite specifically, that in the immediate previous life, or in some life, not too long before, that person himself committed murder. So now in this life he's getting a reaction. He's being murdered. So, he has nothing to complain about. Why are you murdering me? It's not fair. No, he has no right to complain. Because he already earned that by murdering someone previously. So he cannot complain. He's simply getting what he deserves. So does that mean then that the murderer can say that I am not punishable? Why should I get any reaction? I was simply an instrument for the laws of karma just to make sure that this person got what he deserved. It was the right thing. If I hadn't murdered him, it would have been the wrong thing. How does that sound? Pretty good? Sorry. It doesn't work like that. It may have been his karma to be murdered, but by you, for your own reasons, you decided, let me murder this person. So you, who committed the murder for your own reasons, you have to take the reaction for committing that murder, even though from another angle of vision, it was that person's karma to be murdered. So it's very involved, actually. Okay, here's another question. The spiritual master is said to take birth again to save the disciple if he falls away. Please explain. Well, yes, that's true. The spiritual master, by Krishna's arrangement, the spiritual master will manifest in that disciple's life, in the next life. Now that could happen in any of a number of ways. It could happen in the very literal sense that the spiritual master takes birth and then at a certain point during the course of that next life actually face to face meets the disciple from the previous life, and then again they become connected, and again the spiritual master in that very direct sense instructs the disciple to advance further. It could be like that. Or it can be in other senses also. For example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya tells the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, who And he became a great devotee in the sort of middle or later portion of his life. But up until that point, in his younger days, he was not a great devotee. Actually, he was a very degraded person. So, Lord Chaitanya explains how Bhagavan Thakura, in his earlier days, he was very closely connected with one prostitute. So, one night, he underwent extreme difficulty to go to that prostitute and spend time with the prostitute. He underwent great difficulty, and when the prostitute saw the state he was in, he swam a river, he climbed a tree. So he was really looking the worse for wear. So when that prostitute saw, look, what a mess this fellow's in, just to come to me, then spontaneously she told him that if you would make such an effort to serve Krishna, you'd be a pure devotee by now. So then, Bilva Mangal Thakur, this was the turning point. Suddenly, it was like the light just went on. And he realized, yes, that's right. He immediately walked out of there, went to Vrindavan. He became a pure devotee, inspired by what she said. So, Lord Chaitanya explains that Bilva Mangal Thakura's spiritual master from his previous life, what was his name? Well, I forget his name. Anyway, his spiritual master from his previous life spoke to him through the prostitute. It wasn't exactly that prostitute somehow or other was very Krishna conscious necessarily, but somehow he spoke through her, and in this way brought his disciple from the previous lifetime back to his senses and to carry on and finally to come to the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So, in different ways it can be like that. But one way or another, it is a fact that the spiritual master he takes a vow. At the time of initiation, the disciple takes different vows to chant 16 rounds, follow the Raghavata principles, stay within ISKCON, different vows like this. But internally, the spiritual master also takes a vow that I will deliver this disciple whatever it takes. Even if the disciple goes off the track and I have to go chasing for a long time to get him to come back, but I'll do that. So, that is there in Krishna consciousness. So I'll answer one more question and then we'll just carry on. Is chanting the Maha Mantra devotional service itself? If yes, is it proper to chant the Maha Mantra all day? In other words, without doing any service. A transcendental escapist. Well, yes, chanting the Maha Mantra is devotional service. It is devotional service. And the Lord Chaitanya says, Chanadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnana Anani Ramana Vena Kirtan Yasadahari, that once you chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, being more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, in such a state of mind one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly, and only in that state of mind can you chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. In some other state of mind, you can't. You might try, but your mind will not let you. And if your mind can be very strong when it wants. So if it decides it doesn't want to let you chant, you'll find it extremely difficult. So there you are, chanting, chanting, chanting in your mind. You're thinking, yes, I will chant all day. Actually, you're calling out, please let me serve. Please give me service. Please give me service. That's what you're doing. That's what your chanting is meaning. So then Krishna sends the devotee. Yes, can you help us with some service? And then you say, no, I don't want to help. I just want to chant. So, that means you're not really being very humble. You're asking for service by chanting. You're getting the opportunity to serve. And then you're saying, no, I don't want to serve. So don't worry. In a little while, your mind will tell you to stop chanting. And you'll stop, actually. You'll stop. Yeah. So it's a fact that chanting is service, but if then the devotees come along, and particularly if it's really like some authority comes along and asks you to do some service, then you have to do that service. If you don't, then you're being hypocritical, really. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for listening very patiently. And now